Galatians 2. Says, then 14 years after, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also. And I went up by revelation and communicated unto them the gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised, that because of false brethren, unawares, brought in, who came in privily to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage, to whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. But of these who seemed to be somewhat, whatsoever they were, it maketh no matter to me, God accepteth no man's person, for they who seemed to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me. But contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter, for he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. And when James and Caiaphas and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, that they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and that they unto the circumcision. Only they would that we should remember the poor, the same which I also was forward to do. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that likewise Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. But when I saw they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, if thou being a Jew livest after the manner of the Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Jews, the Gentiles, to live as do the Jews? We who are Jews by nature, and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. For if I destroy again the thing, for if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness came by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Now, Paul was very adamant about this gospel that he preached. And he was very adamant about a person not only believing the truth of the gospel, but walking in the truth of the gospel. And he was not afraid to stand up and let people know what God had given to him. And the ones that did not agree with him, it did not matter to him. He was no respecter of person, as was the Lord, and he knew what the Lord had given to him. And if they didn't like it, that was just tough apples. That was tough. And even when it came to Peter, when he saw what Peter was doing there and how that he was mingling with the Gentiles, eating with the Gentiles, and then when certain Jews came down, he withdrew himself, making it look like the Gentiles were unclean and not fit to be around. Paul stood up and he withstood Peter to the face and said, that's not right. He said, what are you doing? If you're going to live like the Gentiles, then why would you make those Gentiles think they need to live like the Jews? And he pointed out to Peter that he wasn't doing right in that situation. But I want to call your attention back to verse 9, where he says, and when James, Caiaphas, and John, and Caiaphas is another name for Peter, and when James, Caiaphas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me Barnabas, gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision. There were three men there, James, Caiaphas, and John, and Paul says about these men who seemed to be pillars. They seemed to be pillars. These were men that the Lord had called. These were men who answered the call of Jesus Christ when he called them personally. These were men that knew the Lord, walked with the Lord while he was in his ministry. Now they've been left to stand for Jesus Christ. And he says there, when James, Caiaphas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship. Paul and Barnabas are getting ready to go out again to the Gentiles. You find this in Acts chapter 15. And here are three men whom the Bible says seemed to be pillars. And tonight, I want to talk to you for a few minutes about pillars in the ministry. Our Heavenly Father, I pray now that you would bless the preaching of the Word of God. And I ask, Lord, that you would strengthen each and every man and woman that's come to this auditorium tonight to hear the Word of God proclaimed. And I pray that the Holy Spirit would open our spiritual eyes and understanding. Help us to go out from this place with a desire to stand for you and to do what's right. And Lord, in these last days, the idea of doing right is something that's foreign to many people. And Lord, help us to cause that to be a something that's very important to us and very high on the priority list, to want to stand and do that which is right in your sight. Father, I pray that you'd raise up men in this church, in this ministry, that will stand for you and be men who can bear under the load and do the work that needs to be done in these last days. I'm thankful, Lord Jesus, for the men that are here tonight. And I pray that this would encourage them and cause them to have determination and desire to stand for you until you come back. We ask now for your blessing upon us. We ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I believe we have an obligation to the Lord to stand up for what is right. Paul was not worried about his relationship with others as much as he was about his relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. He did not care whether men accepted him or rejected him. He had a calling, he had a ministry, he had a gospel to preach, and he was going to preach that gospel. If someone wanted to come along and work with him, he was not opposed to that. But if he wound up by himself, he was still going to do that which God called him to do. I believe that somewhere in the course of life, a man has to determine for himself what he's going to do with his life, and if he's going to stand, and if he is going to stand, that he has to determine in his heart that he's going to stand for his Lord and stand whether anyone stands with him or not. I'm thankful for the men that Paul refers to in the Scriptures that stood with him along the way. But at the end of his ministry, at the end of his life, he says, no man is with me except for Luke. Luke was the only man that was with him at the very end. You know what Paul did? He just kept doing what was right and standing for what was right and going the right direction. And while some stayed with him and some departed from him like Demas, he just kept on doing it and doing it until it was time for him to be called out of this world. And when he was called out, he was alone except for one man, and that was Luke. But here in the book of Galatians, he refers to three men. And he says these three men seemed to be pillars. Everyone knows what a pillar is. They're used in all types of building and all types of construction to make bridges, to make high-rise buildings, to make houses, to make docks. Everything needs some kind of foundation, some kind of support. And pillars many times are used to support a load. They are strengthened, they are built up in order to carry a load. And I believe God in these last days wants some men and wants some women that regardless of what kind of adversity comes across their life, regardless of what kind of hardships they encounter, they're just going to keep on standing for Jesus Christ just like a strong pillar, and they're going to bear up under the load and just stand and do what God wants to be done. We're living in a country right now in which Bible-believing Christianity has been under attack for some time, but now what is referred to as the religious right is coming under attack. If you take that little magazine, Israel, My Glory, on the front of that thing, it has quotations by people that are supposed to be something in this world. And I sort of feel like Paul, it says, but of these whom seem to be somewhat, whatsoever they were, it maketh no matter to me. God accepteth no man's person. That's the way I feel about them. And these quotations are on there about the religious right and how that there is an element in this country that believes God's law supersedes man's law. And they say that people like you and I are there to overthrow the government, which we are not. But that's the way they're making it look. Now, they are targeting what they call the religious right, because after all, it's Bush and this religious right element that is causing us to go into war, that is causing us to support Israel, that is causing us to spend billions and billions of dollars, and they're against that. And the Bible says that the day will come when a man does good, he'll be evil spoken of. And that day is upon us. God wants some men and some women that are going to stand and be pillars that'll be able to bear up under the load. Pillars are needed in a country. If a country is going to be strong, it has to have some men, some women within the country that are going to be strong to stand up and face the adversary and face the tests that will be placed upon them. I don't understand, I will never understand, why they go to some drug-addicted, wicked Hollywood star and ask for their opinion on anything. They're talking there about the religious right, and when they want to know, what do you think about the war in Iraq, they don't go take a poll of preachers to find out what they think about it. They go over there and talk to some drug addict that has a couple millions of dollars and say, what do you think about it? I don't care what they think about it. They don't have the same outlook on life as I do. I don't look at life like they do. And you know something, unless they come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior, we're worlds apart and always will be. I don't care about their opinion. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to read it in print. I don't want to listen to it on the radio. I don't want to have anything to do with it. You know why? Because these people are jaded. These people are depraved. These people are deceived. And I don't want to have any input from them whatsoever. But that's who they're going to stick up there in front of you. And what do you think about it? And what do you think about it? Pillars are needed in this country. What happened to statesmen? There used to be men that we called statesmen that would stand, and they would, I'll tell you what, they would stand up for God, and they would stand up for the Word of God, and they would stand up in Congress, and they would tell the people there before them that things about God and things about what is right according to the Scriptures. We don't have statesmen like that anymore. Henry Grady was a great statesman in this country. And he took a trip one time, and as he took this trip, coming to Washington to stand before Congress and give a report to Congress, this statesman stopped in homes along the way and stayed with just the common average people. And he went into this one home where when they sat down at the table, the woman was there. She was a widow, and she had some children, and the man was gone, and she opened her house to this man, Henry Grady, and he went in there and sat at the table and watched the woman put a very simple meal on the table. And before she put that simple meal on the table, they all bowed their heads and prayed, and the woman thanked God for the meal that they had. And then they ate. At the end of that meal, they saw the children gather around the old family Bible,
That woman said it is our custom before we go to bed to read the Bible and have prayer. And Henry Grady sat there and listened to that woman read the Bible and listened to her pray with her little children and then take those children up and tuck them in bed and let them go to sleep. And he went to bed and woke up, had a great night's sleep, went into Washington, D.C. the next day, stood before Congress, and he said, the strength of America is in our homes. And he says, if our homes are weak, America will be weak. And if our homes are strong, America will be strong. And he told about that woman who prayed for the food and prayed for her children and read the scriptures to her children. And he said, that's what makes America strong.
You don't have that anymore. You don't have it.
I wish I could have been over there last Monday at the school when they chiseled the Ten Commandments off of that cement, cut them out of there with cement saws, and carried them off the property. I wish I could have been there. I don't know what happened to me. About 3 o'clock in the morning, I woke up. I was running a high fever, and I was shivering and shaking. And I stayed down all day that Monday with a fever. And Tuesday, it was gone, completely gone. I felt fine, and that was the only thing that was wrong with me. But there were some people out there. And I thank God for those that were out there. I don't care what their religious beliefs were and what their doctrine was. Because you see, if they're standing for the right thing, I'll stand with them for the right thing. And they were out there standing for the right thing. But I'm sure they were not in a great majority. I'm sure that there weren't thousands and thousands out there like you'll see at a Reds ball game every weekend. There were probably a few hundred people that were out there saying, this is what we want, and it's a sad day in America where one man can stand up and cause such a commotion that we can't have the Ten Commandments in front of our schools that we paid for with our tax dollars. That's a crying shame. You know what's happened in America? The pillars have crumbled.
We need to have pillars. Pillars are needed in the community. Men and women who will speak out against sin and speak out against wickedness and not be ashamed to stand up for righteousness and stand up for what's right. I like what Bob Jones Sr. said. He said, do right until the stars fall. And you know, sometimes it's easy to say and hard to do. But that's what God wants. That's what Jesus did. He did the right thing until he died and ascended up into heaven, and he's still doing the right thing. And we need men and women that will be pillars that will stand for what is right and speak out against sin and do that which is right. I believe pillars are needed in a church. We need men and women in a church that believe something and are willing to stand for what they believe and willing to die for what they believe. I don't have a lot of convictions. I don't have a lot of convictions that other men say are their convictions. Well, this is my conviction on some. I have a conviction about one thing primarily, and that's this book right here. Because I believe a conviction is something that you're willing to die for. And by the grace of God, if the day comes when somebody comes in and says, you have to stop preaching that book, and go along with the rest of these churches that are believing the NIV and the NASB, and then we'll let you be state approved, or you can go to jail, or we'll send you to a concentration camp, or we'll take your life. By the grace of God, if that ever comes, if that day comes, you know what I want to do? I want to stand and preach and say, you'll have to drag me out of this pulpit and I'll be preaching the Word of God all the way down to the paddy wagon when they slap me in there and muff me and cuff me and stuff a rag in my mouth to keep me shut up.
Amen.
Because I have a conviction about one thing, and that this book is the Word of God, and it's perfect and right, and it is the authority. And everything else, you know, I can take it, I can take some of it, I can leave some of it. Brother, I'll tell you what, if you believe this book, then you're going to want to line up with it and try by the grace of God to live according to it. And we need men and women in a church that are going to be pillars. We need men and women in a family that are going to be pillars for the family. A pillar is a support, something that is strong. that can carry the load and bear up under the stress and under the load. Have you ever gone across a big long bridge? And you see that with the way that thing's constructed? And from a distance, it doesn't look like much. They tell me that the Golden Gate Bridge out there in California, when the winds are real heavy, that thing will actually move in the wind. That's a scary thought, isn't it? A bridge that you're on, moving in that wind. But they have that thing supported, and they have structures under that have been built and tested to carry a load. I remember back a few years ago when they were having the World Series out there in Oakland, I think, and an earthquake hit, and how those interstates just crumbled, and some of those overpasses and stuff crumbled and went under, and you saw these great big supports that had been supporting the interstate that had been knocked out and loosened, and the roads fell, and people drove off and went to their death on some of those highways out there because the pillars did not hold up. A pillar has to be strong. The Bible says in Ephesians 6 and verse 10, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 13, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong." You know what God wants? God wants some men and some women that'll be strong. Strong in faith. That means strong in believing something. That'll get the job done. Men that'll take God at His word, believe the word, and just do according to what the word of God has to say. When the children of Israel came out of Egypt, there were some men that had faith. There were some men that said, "Let's go into the land. We are well able to overcome it. The Lord is on our side. Let's go into the land." Joshua and Caleb were willing to go into the land. Moses and Aaron were willing to go into the land. You know what happened? These men were strong. They believed. They had faith in God. They believed God would take care of them as they went into that land. But there was a multitude of people that cried out and said, "No, no, no, no. It'd be better if we were back in Egypt. God's brought us out here to let us die out here in this wilderness. We'd have been better off sitting by our flesh pots down in the land of Egypt." God saw that thing and He got mad. He got mad. After all He had done for those people, after the way He had delivered them out of the hand of Pharaoh, and how He had delivered them with mighty signs and wonders, and how He had got them across the Red Sea, and how He had given them water to drink at the waters of Meribah, and how He had taken care of them every step of the way, and now they're right there at the promised land. They could have gone into that land, and they started crying out and murmuring and complaining and saying, "No, we can't do it." And God got mad, and He said, "Okay, you're going to wander in the wilderness, but I'll tell you what. Oh, Joshua and Caleb, they're going to get in. They're going to have to stagger around out there for 40 years, but when the 40 years is up, I'm going to keep them strong. I'm going to keep them just like pillars. They're going to go in, they're going to be strong, and they're going to take their inheritance in that land." You know why? They believe something. They had faith in God. That's what we need. We need to have faith in God. Then we need to be strong, not only in faith, but strong in grace. If you're strong in grace, you'll be able to work. You'll be able to do something. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." There is grace in Christ Jesus. And you and I are to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. That means when there is problems, when there are trials, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Take your Bible and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, or chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and look what it says in verse 3 and 4. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 3, "Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ. Look in chapter 3 and verse 9. He says there, for we are laborers together with God. You're God's husbandry. You're God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. Look in chapter 15 and verse 10. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 10. He says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. You see what Paul did? Paul knew that if he was going to keep serving, if he was going to keep going for the Lord, he needed grace. He knew that grace came from Jesus Christ, and he was strong in the grace that was in Christ Jesus, and that enabled him to go on. You know what grace will do? Grace will make you strong and keep you working right through the adversities and right through the hard times. I would probably say maybe the last three years right here at this church, not the church, but just different situations and problems that came up, have probably been some of the hardest times that I've faced in my entire Christian life. And I have to say this, if it wasn't for the grace of God, I would not be here tonight. If it wasn't for the grace of God, I would not be able to keep on going for the Lord. If we're going to be pillars, then we're going to have to be strong. We're going to have to be strong in faith, that's believing. We're going to have to be strong in grace so that we can serve. Then we're going to have to be strong to help. In Romans chapter 15 and verse 1 and 2, it says, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. We need to help people. We need to be willing to help the lost. We need to be willing to reach out to them and try to be a blessing to them and a help to them, and not just a witness to them, which we need to do, but more than that, be willing to help out. Peter, who seemed to be a pillar, was strong. In Acts, he preached. In Acts, he helped a lame man. Because of that, the lame man got saved. He was able to rejoice in persecution. And when he was told not to go out and mention the name of Jesus anymore, he went out and mentioned that name and continued preaching that name until he was put in prison. He was a man of prayer. He was a soul winner. He went to Cornelius' house and saw that household get saved. But there was a time when Peter wasn't strong. There was a time when Peter was weak, where he denied the Lord, where he warmed his hands at the enemy's fire. But he became strong and was able to be a help. God needs men and women who can be pillars. Now, the Apostle Paul says in Galatians chapter 2 about these men that they were pillars. It says, and when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship. Not only is a pillar something that's strong, but a pillar is something that's stable. You can depend on it. It'll carry the load. You can put the load under on it and watch it. And it's not going to crumble. It's not going to stagger. Unless there is something that hits that thing that is more than what it was built to withstand. I think some of the most amazing pictures I've ever seen in my life was when the terrorists attacked the trade towers in New York. It was almost unbelievable to watch those planes. My son John called me up early in the morning and he said, Dad, something's wrong. He said, there's some planes that have been hijacked. And one of them tried to, I don't know whether he said one of them flew into the Pentagon or one of them flew into one of the trade towers. And I said, it has to be terrorists. I turned on the TV and they had the camera set up and the trade tower was burning, and I saw the other jet as it came around, went behind those two towers, made its turn, came right in, hit the side of that thing, exploded. It was unbelievable to see that. And then to watch that building, it stood for a while, but it had been hit so hard that it went beyond what it was built to withstand. And eventually, those towers shook and vibrated and crumbled and came smashing down into the ground. They collapsed. You know, God's not going to put more on us than what we're able to bear. Those trade towers got more put on them than what they were able to bear, but God will never allow more to be put on us than what we're able to bear. A pillar is supposed to be stable. Sometimes you might think, I don't know how I can take much more. Well, just ask God for some more grace and realize that you can take some more, but God's not going to do you like the terrorists did the towers. He's not going to let so much be put upon you that you cannot stand up under it. God wants men and women who are stable, dependable, faithful. I know a man will be dependable and stable if he's faithful. When a man is unfaithful to God in his personal life, it'll cause him to be unfaithful to his family. If he's unfaithful to his family, it'll cause him to be unfaithful to the church. If he's unfaithful to the church, it'll cause him to be unfaithful to the calling that is upon his life. And God wants men who are going to be stable. Stability and faithfulness go hand in hand. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 1 says, let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mystery of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Stability and faithfulness go together. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12, Paul says, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. He says, God enabled me because he counted me faithful. God knew that Paul was going to be a faithful man. Because he was going to be a faithful man, he was going to be a stable man. And the Lord was going to be able to depend on Paul. Faithfulness and stability go hand in hand. Luke chapter 16 and verse 10 says, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. He that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. Sometimes God just wants us to zero in on the little things in life and be faithful in those little things. And if we can be faithful in those little things, we'll see bigger things come our way. But if we can't be faithful in just the little things, how is God going to depend upon us to be stable and put more on us if we can't be faithful in those little things? God is a faithful God. His Word is a faithful book. And He wants you and I to be faithful children. John, who seemed to be a pillar, was a faithful man. When you look at the Apostle John, his life, he was on the Mount of Transfiguration when Jesus was transfigured. At the Last Supper, he was on the breast of Jesus with his head laying right there on Jesus' breast. At the crucifixion, he was at the foot of the cross receiving instruction to be a son to Mary. When Jesus ascended into heaven, it was John who was there. It was John that God allowed to write 5 books of the New Testament. St. John, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and the book of Revelation. And when you see John at the end of his life, he's on the Isle of Patmos exiled because the testimony of Jesus Christ and the Word of God, he was faithful, 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 right on through, stable and dependable. He was a pillar. He didn't just seem to be a pillar, he was a pillar. Not only is a pillar something that is strong, and a pillar is something that is stable, but a pillar is something that is going to stand to support the load. This should be a characteristic of the child of God. We should be standing. In Ephesians chapter 6, three times, you find the word stand connected with the Christian soldier. It says in verse 11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand. It says in verse 12, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Verse 14, stand, therefore having your loins girt about with truth. A pillar is something that stands. It stands there and it supports the load. You can depend upon it standing and supporting that load. That's why it's a pillar. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 1. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Paul wanted these people to stand fast in the Lord. 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 8. Neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you. Paul wanted to set an example for his converts, and he showed them how to stand. Are we able to stand? Will you stand? It's easy to stand when things are easy. It's hard to stand when things are hard. If a person can't stand when it's easy, he should not fool himself into thinking that he will stand when it's hard. The only thing that I can tell you in the future is this, that if I can look at my life in the past and see that I've stood, that I've stood, that I've stood, that I've stood, then hopefully in the future I'll be able to stand and stand and stand in the future. My desire would be to stand, but where are the men and women today that are willing to stand and be counted for Jesus? And when the world says you're crazy, and when your friend say you're stupid, and when everybody else is living for what they can get out of life, will you be willing to just stand? Last of all, let me say this. A pillar is going to be something that is steadfast. It ain't going to move. It's going to be steadfast. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, the Bible says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. In 2 Peter 3 and verse 17, it says, ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware, lest also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. The influence of the wicked can cause a man who wants to stand to err and not be steadfast. I want to be a pillar. I want to be steadfast. I want to be steadfast in what I teach and preach as far as the doctrine that I believe. I read a few weeks ago or a few months ago, I told you about this fellow over at the school that I encountered. And I wasn't even talking to him. I was talking to some other people. He came up to the table. And one of the people that I was talking to knew him there. And he sat down. He had retired, gotten out of the ministry, retired. And he was going to straighten everybody out. And I forget exactly how the conversation went, but anyway, I just pointed him back to the Word of God and what the Bible had to say. And
He's some kind of teacher of religion. I picked up the paper the other day, one of the Brown County papers, and there was an article written in there about him. And you could tell by reading the article that he was a bitter man and that he was against organized Christianity as such. And he said, I am now in the process of reviewing my beliefs. I thought, man, by the time you have been in the ministry all your days and you've retired and now you're reviewing what you believe? Man, I reviewed what I believed the first 5 years I was saved, and I haven't been reviewing it since. I've just been standing there preaching it and teaching it because I believed that what I learned the first 5 years that I was saved were the things that God wanted me to learn, and it was the truth then, and it's the truth now. I'm not reviewing it. It's not open for review. Now, there are some things that may be open to review, but I'm talking about the sound doctrine that the Apostle Paul talks about in his books. They are not open for review. I'm not reviewing. It doesn't matter what people do, whether they believe it or don't believe it, I'm not open to review those things. I want to be steadfast in that doctrine. I want to be steadfast in the work of the Lord. And a pillar is going to be steadfast. Are you going to be steadfast in the work of the Lord? In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58, it says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. It's not in vain. Just stand, be steadfast in the Word. Judgment seat of Christ. At the judgment seat of Christ that Dale read about tonight, the things that are going to be reviewed there is not how much work we've done, or how big the work was that we were involved in. But it's going to be the quality of work that we did, and the motives behind why we did that work. And Paul says, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Why? Your labor is not in vain in the Lord. If I'm doing what I'm doing for the Lord, and that's my motive, and that's my reason, then my labor is not in vain. It might look like it's in vain to someone else, but it's not if it's for the Lord. We have a hope that is steadfast. The Bible says in Hebrews, six and verse 19, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. I've got a hope that is steadfast tonight. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. That's a steadfast hope, and I want to be a steadfast pillar for the Lord. A pillar is going to be strong. A pillar is going to be stable. A pillar is going to be steadfast. And these men that Paul pointed out in Galatians chapter 2, he says, and when James, Caiaphas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship that we should go unto the heathen, that we should, and they unto the circumcision. Not only were Peter, James, and John pillars, but Paul
and Barnabas were also pillars for the Lord. And you and I can be pillars, people that are strong. When tragedy comes, when hardships come to others, you know what they look for? They look for somebody that has some stability in their life. When people get into a crisis, what they call a crisis in the realm of human services and in counseling with people, and they get in a crisis, sometimes they become suicidal, sometimes they become paranoid, sometimes they become very anxious about things. They don't want anybody to touch them. They don't want anybody to talk to them. They don't want anybody to look at them. They'll hunker over in a corner. They'll hide, put their hands up like this. They'll hide themselves. They don't want anybody around. Something's happened. They're out of balance. They're out of equilibrium. They're messed up. Sometimes they become very suicidal. Something happened mentally up there with them. You know what helps them out? Somebody that is stable. If they can get around somebody that is stable, that stable individual can talk them right through that crisis that they're in. I dealt with a girl not long ago that was in such a fix. They put her into a respite home over in Chillicothe. She says, I'm afraid. I said, what are you afraid of? She said, I can't tell you. I said, why can't you tell me? She said, I just can't. It's too awful. I can't tell you. I don't want to tell you. She said, are you afraid of anything? I said, I fear God. I said, but I don't know. I might be afraid of something that I haven't come in touch with yet. But I said, you know, I fear God. But outside of that, I'm not afraid. And she said, I wish I could be like that. And I got to talking to her, and I had her right down to the place where she was going to tell me what terrified her so bad. And the door opened, and another counselor came in and said, okay, we got it fixed up for her to go. And she went right back into her little shell. But what she was doing is she was coming out of that fearful condition because somebody was there that was stable. When tragedy hits, when problems hit a person's life, they're going to look around and they're going to look for somebody that's stable, and they're going to come to that stable person. And if that stable person is you, they're going to come to you and they're going to say, pray for me. What should I do? They're going to ask for your counsel because they're out of balance. But they look at you and they see you being stable. We need to be pillars for Jesus Christ. Strong, stable, steadfast, carrying the load, standing until the last day comes, where we either go to meet the Lord or the Lord comes for us in the air. Let's stand. We'll have a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, tonight, Lord, we're thankful that You've saved us. That's the greatest thing that ever happened to us, Lord, was salvation. We're thankful, Lord, that You call saved sinners to do something for You. We're thankful, Lord, for the calling You've placed upon our lives. We're thankful, Lord, for the opportunity to meet here together tonight, have fellowship one with another, and then go out into this world this week. We don't know what we're going to face. Lord, we don't know who we're going to meet, who we're going to come in contact with. Lord, some of us are going to go to jobs that we've gone to day after day after day, and maybe there's not much change in the routine. But Lord, if there is the opportunity to be a witness, then God, help us to be ready. If there is the opportunity to be a pillar and to be strong and steadfast for someone else, help us to do that. Lord, maybe some of us will come into situations that we're not expecting this week. And Lord, in those situations, may we just stand fast for you. Lord, we ask that you would send us out of here filled with the Holy Spirit, having a desire to please you, to live for you, and just to be a pillar for you. God, we know that you won't put more upon us than what we're able to bear. And Lord, we ask that you'd give us grace so that we can continue to serve you regardless of what the problems are that do come upon our lives. Now be with us and use us. And I ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen.